Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
A storybook start to the postseason for Michael King and the Padres. It was all Padres tonight. Fernando Tatis Jr. early. Michael King doing something that's never been done in postseason history. We'll get into that. Padres really cruised to a game one victory. Everything we had hoped for and prepped you for over the last 48 hours came to fruition. Can they finish the series off tomorrow behind Joe Musgrove in a scintillating pitching matchup? Joe Musgrove, Max Fried, game two, 5:38. On Wednesday down at Petco Park. We're going to be with you for an extended wrap-up show. Make your way in. We have to get past 7,200 subscribers right now if you want this to be an extended wrap-up show. We are 7 subscribers away. Please subscribe to this channel. We have year-round, in-season, out-of-season content for Padres fans. So subscribe. Smash the like button for us. A 4-0 Padres win over Atlanta down at Petco. What an atmosphere. Smash the like button. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We really appreciate your support of the channel. We'll get to every single super chat here tonight. If you want to control the direction of the conversation, if you want to see your comment on screen, if you just want to support our work, click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to become a member, click the join button down below. Padres doing what they've done really all second half, Jim. I mean, this thing was as dominant as you're going to get in the postseason. Just over 2 hours, 47,000 people, Michael King, the bullpen, Toddy, Higgy, and the Padres. They just cruise. I think it's the right word. They just cruise tonight to a 4-0 timely victory.
Before the game, we saw a lot of Padres fans at Noddy Barrel. And I think the main takeaway was, like, everyone's excited, but, like, very nervous. You know, just nerves. There's a lot of nerves, and as there should be. There was not one point in this game after the Tatis 2-run home run that I really got, like, nervous. And then when Higgy added on there in the 8th, even when Suarez gave up that deep drive to left and had a and then Olsen got on.
Yep.
After the 2-run home run and the way that Michael King pitched tonight, which was a performance for the ages. I mean, that's going to go down. It's already one of the best pitching performances, like, in Padres history. But it's also one of the best in postseason history. It was a weird feeling watching the game and sitting there being like, this is easy. Like, this is on cruise control. Yes, would I have liked the Padres to add on more to the lead after the first inning and the second inning when they picked up another run? Absolutely. I would have loved a 7-0 win. But, I mean, that's how I felt. I don't know how you felt. Like, I just felt like they had this game in control from the first pitch. Even though Michael King kind of was a little shaky in the first runs on first and third, two outs. But the second that A.J. Smith-Shawver came to the mound and Arise got on, I'm like, I think I text you. I'm like, this guy sucks. I mean, this is not – like, to put that kid in that position, it was a unwinnable situation for the Braves, and the Padres took advantage of it and, you know, cruised to a 4-0 win.
There were two moments for me, and I'm with you. It was a breathe easy win, in my opinion. Watching this on television, to me, it wasn't one of those nail-biting, oh my gosh, I'm on the edge of my seat. Because I
every
just
pitch is like, oh my God, that
dominant. And the Braves, you know, they kind of looked, I don't know, they looked defeated a little bit in game one, the pitching situation. And then it's more of a credit to King and Adam and Suarez than it is saying the Braves looked defeated or tired. I mean, that's not fair. The Padres did their part in making this a shutout and making it look that way. There were two moments in this game that I was like, first and third, two outs in the first inning for Atlanta. You're thinking like a base hit, and all of a sudden, like, forget about all this talk about Atlanta traveling across the country and this being a cakewalk of a series. And he gets out of it with a swing and a miss. He had a million of them. And then in the third inning, Jim, they led 3-0, but there were two on and two out in the third inning. And he did the same. The tying run was at the plate. I get it. It's the third inning. And he got out of that spot as well. And then from there on out, the dude was brilliant. You could have argued if he should have started the eighth inning. It doesn't matter in the end. They've got this unbelievable bullpen. He didn't need to start the eighth inning. And then the sheer note about what he did tonight, how, you know, this has basically never been done in the history of the postseason. So it was retweeted from San Diego Sports 760. Let me read it. This is pretty crazy. Michael King tonight, 12 strikeouts, no walks, no runs, and earning a win, is the first pitcher in baseball history to do all of that in a postseason game. Strikeout 12 or more, allow zero walks, allow zero runs, and win the game. No one's ever done that. And there have been a lot of postseason games. You look at recent history with all these wildcard series over the last few years. So you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of games, and no pitcher in baseball history had done that. So that's how dominant he was here tonight, and it confirms the decision that the Padres made. It also backs up everything that Michael King has done all year long. It just further cements what he has meant to this team and what he's capable of meaning to this team moving forward in October as well.
Like, there's an argument, and after tonight, it's hard to make that, but there's an argument that King's their third or fourth best pitcher.
Sure.
Like, you got Joe, Cease, Darvish. When everyone's healthy, you can make an argument that King's your maybe number four. He's That's definitely not point. Pitching like a number four. He's pitching like a number one. And tonight was ace-like performance from him. It's just such a tone setter for the postseason to go out there and get that type of performance, have that type of game where you just watch the Padres, and after the first nine innings of game one, you're like, that's clear and away the best team in the series, and that's clear and away one of the better teams in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not doing it off of – I mean, the Tigers, you don't consider them the best team in baseball, not even close. They're just, like, everything that they're doing goes their way right now. They're just hot.
Sure.
But they're not even close to the best team in baseball. The Padres, they're hot, and they're considered to me one of the best teams in baseball. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. There's still work to be done in this series. You still have to finish the Braves off tomorrow in game two. You have it set up perfectly with Joe tomorrow and then Cease for potential game three. But man, does this feel like the start of something special here this postseason with the performance we saw tonight, doesn't it?
Oh, I completely agree. I'm not putting anything past them. And I'll say two things. Like you just said, I'm not looking ahead, but I'm not putting anything past them. I'm not looking ahead, but I'm not putting anything past them. Anything is possible with this team. Anything is possible with this team. Let's get started here with the Super Chats. There's 400 people here live. This game just ended. There'll be many more as the evening rolls on people making their way home from Petco Park. So please subscribe. We're going to blow past 7,200 subscribers tonight with your help. In fact, we are six away. So please subscribe to the channel.
Let's go.
Smash the like button for us. And also appreciate the Super Chats. We really do. We'll get to all of them here tonight. Like this one from Sean. Thank you, Sean. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, national journalist, not very smart, interviewing Tatis at the end of the game, saying he never played in front of a sellout crowd. What? Let's go Padres. So I watched this interview on SportsCenter. They led SportsCenter with Padres Braves coming out of the game. I don't know if she said he's never played in front of a sellout crowd or he had never played in front of fans in the postseason. I think what she meant was, even if she said it, that he hadn't played in front of a sellout crowd in the postseason. We should touch on the crowd. It was incredible. All the other home teams today lost. Padres won. Jim told me, I think it was the largest crowd in the history of Petco. 47.
One of.
If not one of, whatever. Top three crowd in the history of Petco Park. Crowd was incredible. Tatis, let's touch on that with this from Sean. The home run was unbelievable. I mean, it was literally like out of the natural. The ball went a million feet in the air. Like you could hear the music playing in the background. Ta-da! First pitch swinging, Fernando Tatis Jr. in his first postseason game since 2020. Just unbelievable, but believable. I mean, it's Fernando Tatis Jr., you know?
I was driving home and I heard that on the radio and my first thought was like, no, he didn't. Stop. Did he really just do that? First pitch, 4-15, no doubter. I mean, the launch angle on that thing was like incredible.
A million degrees.
It was a million degrees. It was one of the most majestic home runs that you'll ever see. And I said today on John and Jim, the crowd is going to be in a frenzy to start. What you have to do is you got to get them involved early by scoring early runs. Now that's the best way to do it. Hitting a damn near 500-foot home run almost and making everybody there lose their fucking minds. Right. But man, I'm thinking to myself, we've been talking about Machado having a hot postseason. Tatis tonight, every single at bat, I was like, this guy is one of the most dangerous feared hitters that you'll not want to see in the postseason if you're the opposing pitcher. I mean, he was laying off pitches out of the zone. He was very disciplined at the plate. He looked like he's locked in, drew a walk in his second at bat. He's a guy that it's like when the lights are brightest, dude is going to perform. And postseason baseball feels like it's, made for Fernando Tatis Jr. And he absolutely delivered tonight.
He's played in seven playoff games, guys. That's it. In 6 years, he's played in seven playoff games. He has a 12-12 career OPS. I get it. Small sample size. 25 Jeez. ABs. I don't know the plate appearances. He's got a 1,212 on base plus slugging. Three home runs in seven games. That plays in the postseason. You do that over the next seven games, three more home runs from Tatis this postseason. That's absolutely going to play for the San Diego Padres. By the way, thank you. We're over 7,200 subscribers. Let's get to 7,300. Padres win. We'll be with you probably until 10 o'clock tonight. So please subscribe. We have year-round content for Padres fans. We'll get to every single super chat here tonight as well. SDSU man, thank you for the super chat. He says, Petco looked like it was literally shaking. Mm-hmm. Challenge. Fans going to the game tomorrow be even louder than tonight. This is a good programming announcement for us. Get down to the Knotty Barrel. We saw dozens of people that watched the wrap-up show earlier today at Knotty Barrel. We'll be there broadcasting live, John and Jim, on San Diego Sports 760 from 2 to 5:30 tomorrow in advance of the game. We were there today from 2 to 5:30. We're back tomorrow from 2 to 5:30. So if you're looking for something to do before the game, they have great food and drinks, and it's a great spot with TVs, indoor, outdoor, and we'll be there broadcasting live, getting you ready for game two tomorrow.
I did not go to tonight. I won't be there tomorrow. I might be there if they make it to the divisional round and so forth. But I just remembered to the super chat here about Petco Park shaking. Yeah, it shakes. And the only other time I've been there where it shook was actually there's two times where that ballpark for me was beyond electric. It was
Soto's debut.
Soto's debut, game one, Drury hits the grand slam. And then it was game four, NLDS versus the Dodgers, Cronenworth, his single up the middle. Yep. Those are the two times where I actually like was like, holy shit, this park is shaking right now. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming it did the exact same tonight when you have 47,000 people there. Of course, the thing's going to go.
Tatis homers in the first inning.
Yeah, but like, it's the farther they go in the postseason, there's more chances for special moments. And yeah, that ballpark, it shakes. It absolutely does. Incredible atmosphere. We watched every game today, John, and no other ballpark holds a candle to what Petco Park was like tonight. Not one ballpark in the postseason right now was even close to that atmosphere.
It's one of the great atmospheres in the sport, and we know it, and we see it, and Padres fans understand it. I don't think people nationally understand it. I was getting texts tonight from people all over the country saying, wow, look at the scene. Look at the sky. Look at the temperature. Look at the crowd. I'm like, yeah, this is like every night here. Like, yes, we're national audience are being introduced to it. They're playing the Rockies on a Tuesday night. There's 44,500 people there wearing like bucket hats. That's not happening around baseball. That's happening in two or three markets, and San Diego is one of those two or three markets. But good point from SDSU, man, because Joe Musgrove tomorrow with a chance to clinch it. San Diego, clinching game. We've seen Musgrove in that spot before. Can he do it? We'll find out tomorrow. And it's not going to be easy, I don't think, against Max Fried. Jared McCarthy, thank you, man. Appreciate your longtime support of the channel, your membership. He says King is amazing. He was dominant. I mean, just completely dominant. Here's a guy that in the first month of the season allowed 8 home runs. He's allowed just 9 sins. Remember, he had command issues earlier in the year. And now, like, he gets swings and misses. His slider, sweeper, elite. Fastball, elite. Painting corners, right?
Yeah.
So, and again, you're not pitching better than he pitched tonight. That's as well as anyone can pitch, essentially. And he was amazing. I think that's the right word to use.
That's like, that's ace type stuff. That's the type of performance where you have, I mean, that's a coming out party performance for Michael King. Game one of a postseason series, and you put that out there. I mean, Michael King has put himself on the map as a big time, big game pitcher in baseball with that performance tonight. And hopefully he gets another, you know, start, which would be against the Dodgers in the division series. If the Padres can get back past the Braves here, just win one of the next two games. Yeah, man, that's a performance that you'll be talking about for a long time here in San Diego. I mean, they were putting up like graphics of Kevin Brown in his 1998 debut when he struck out 16.
16, yeah.
And you're like, I mean, Padres fans talk about that. I mean, you'll talk about that forever. You'll talk about this King performance forever. And it's just, to me, it's just set. It's such a perfect tone setter, right? You go out there and you play clean baseball. You have timely hitting. And you have great pitching. And those are the things that win you championships. And it's not only just good pitching. It was like next level dominant pitching. And then the timely hit, you got Fernando Tatis two run home run, and that's all they needed.
And honestly, to their credit as well, and to your point, yeah, I mean, you'd love to score more than 4 runs, but a 4-run win is a good win. And they did add on. They didn't sit on 2-0 all game. They got it to 3. They added the 4th. That's what good teams do. It is the postseason. You're not going to score 10 runs every game. So you get the insurance. You get the additional insurance, and you put yourself in a position where you're going to be impossible to beat. Matthew, thank you for the super chat. He says, big balls from Schill putting Suarez in. I don't think so. In a 4-run game, I mean, I actually didn't know that they would even use him in that 4-run spot. And then you have the long flyout, and then you have the single. But he works a scoreless inning, and that's a good start to the postseason for Robert Suarez. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't use him in that spot because there's margin. What's the worst thing that happens there? If a couple reach, he only has to face 3. I mean, you could have gone deeper into your bullpen with a lead if you needed to. So it's probably the best spot to get him in to dip your toe in the postseason water, not in a 1-run game, but in a 4-run game.
Absolutely. The 1-run game would have been very dicey. He still doesn't.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine the first.
Yeah. I mean, look, he got the clean inning tonight, but still
kind of clean.
Well, I meant like didn't give up any runs. Gave up a hit, gave up the long fly to left. He's still scary. I mean, it's still kind of scary when you watch him out there. Like,
scary in a good way or a bad way?
No, bad way. Like, yeah, that's you're on the edge of your seat, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens the next time this team this postseason has like a one run lead in the ninth. And if they've already used Scott and Adam, right? That's going to be scary. I mean, on the road, especially.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Look, there's going to be twists and turns in every postseason. There just is. There is not going to be all like tonight. But the thing about tonight was it was set up to play out this way. It was set up for you to jump on their Braves pitcher early. It was set up for you to kind of win game one going away. And that's kind of what they did. Now the real stuff starts where you're going to be not facing a 21-year-old making his first ever major league, first ever start in the postseason. You're going to be facing guys like Max Fried. You're going to be facing better pitchers, better pitching. Like that's just what's going to happen from now on for the rest of the way. You might have a occasional guy that you're like, this guy stinks. But you get my point is it was all set up tonight pretty much for the Padres to succeed fail-proof. Like
fail-proof going in, but they played like it was fail-proof. I agree.
Yes.
They went out there and earned it. They got it. Tatis did his part. King did his part. And you're right. Looking back on it, this is the advantage they got by the second half they played. Atlanta didn't get the advantage because they had the injuries. They struggled to get in. They played two games yesterday. And it became their disadvantage. And we said, hey, Padres, you have the advantage. Now go take advantage of it. And they did. So you get the one free game's the wrong word. But you know my point. You got the one game lead.
It's not a free
game. Can you close it out over the next 2 days? Jared, thank you. And by the way, if you don't close it out tomorrow, the pressure swings right back to you. Okay. Yep. So if Max Fried wins tomorrow, make no mistake, all the pressure is in San Diego's corner. So tomorrow's, while it's not, today was the must win. We said it. I stand by it. And they got it. While tomorrow isn't the firm must win like today, it's close to the must win for me. Because if it gets to a game three, all bets are off. All bets are off. Right. Jared, thank you for the super. He says, at what point do we call it the King trade? Listen, King's been great. Juan Soto's been great. We don't know how the postseason ends. We don't know if the Yankees win the World Series, Padres win the World Series, neither. Right. So both meet in the World Series. I don't think anyone's won anything because I don't think that's happened. I think both teams have won in some form or fashion, but no team has won the prize as of yet. So I would wait on that because I think this whole, and I know we joke about on social media, hey, the Padres won the trade, and they've made out beautifully with the trade. But if the New York Yankees win a World Series, that's a pretty damn good trade for them too, or vice versa if the San Diego Padres win a World Series.
Yeah, it's a trade that worked for both teams in big ways. Like, I think it's worked out more surprisingly for the Padres, though, for sure. Did anybody think Juan Soto was going to fail in New York? No. It was like, again, fail-proof for Juan Soto to go to New York. We all knew that he was going to put up a massive year, and he did. Not MVP, but 40-plus home runs, a 900-plus OPS, like stud, all right? That was going to happen 100 out of 100 times. The Padres' perspective here, you didn't know Michael King was going to turn into this dude. You didn't know. I mean, you knew that Michael King had some really good stuff because of his final seven starts in New York last year. But to be, hey, he's going to be starting game one for you. And oh, by the way, he's going to do something that no pitcher's ever done. 12 strikeouts, no runs, no walks, and a win. And oh, by the way, Kyle Higashioka is going to hit a home run in the game. And oh, by the way, we're going to use one of the prospects in the trade to go trade for Dylan Cease, who threw a no-hitter for you. Like, no one expected that at all. You expected Juan Soto to ball out in New York. You had no idea what to expect here in San Diego. So, like, it's not the King trade. It's just, like, both teams benefited in a huge way so far.
Huge way. To Hendrick's point, and thank you, man, for the super chat. If you're here, please subscribe. We're going to get to 7,300 subscribers potentially tonight with your help. So please subscribe. 600 people are here live. There'll be more as the evening continues. Padres win 4-0 down at Petco in game one against Atlanta. They can win the series on Wednesday. So I looked this up. He says, King pitched like an ace his last 20 starts. Heading into the postseason, literally his last 20 starts, he had a 2.24. If you add in tonight, it's 21 starts. He went 7 scoreless. That probably goes down to something like 2.05, making it up. But I mean, that's how 21 starts, 2.0 something ERA for Michael King is, I don't even know if the Padres envision that. Michael King said the day of the trade or a couple of days after, he thought the Padres won the trade. To be fair, nationally, that's kind of laughable to have said that in the moment. And for him to back it up 9 months later like this or 10 months later like this is utter insanity. To get 180 innings out of this guy, have a sub 3 ERA, be a game one starter and go 7 scoreless innings is like storybook stuff.
Look, he's got this two-seam fastball that reminds you of Greg Maddux. He's got a slider that, I mean, reminds you of a Randy Johnson, except it's a right-handed slider. It just falls out of the zone. Right-handed hitters are, I mean, tonight they looked foolish against it. And, oh, by the way, he can pump up to 96. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
his movement and also his ability to command his pitches and put his stuff where he needs to, inside, outside, dotting corners. Like, I mean, he just hit spots tonight. He did. He hit every spot here tonight.
Just incredible. It was impressive. It's just an incredible performance. Like,
it really was.
King jersey in the cart. I mean, let's go.
No doubt. JD Gaucho, thank you, man. He says Atlanta's only chance was in the first. King shut him down. I agree with that. What do they say about good pitchers? Like, you only get maybe an opportunity. Harris leads off the game with a single. Olsen bloops a single. Mm-hmm. You got a golden opportunity if you're Atlanta there. You're a double away from a 2-0 lead. You shut everyone up.
Yep.
And to King's credit, he didn't allow it to happen. And that's to King's credit. Then again, in the third, and it's 3-0 now, and you're feeling very good, but there's two on for Atlanta. You're one base hit away from it being a game, a double. It's a 3-2 game, a homer. You're tied. And typically in the postseason, there'll be those adversity. There'll be those high leverage moments. And there were one or two of them, but that was it. It wasn't every inning. It wasn't, you know, a handful of times. It was one or two times early, which made it feel like it was easier than maybe it really was. They made it look easy. I don't know if it was easy, but they made it look as if it was easy here tonight, by and large.
Yeah, I feel like the only chance Atlanta had tonight was in that first inning.
First inning, probably.
And going into the game, it felt like they needed to get on the board first because this guy on the mound for them was not going to last long. He just wasn't. And the only way that they had a chance tonight is if you got to put the pressure on the Padres right away. You just have to. And they didn't do it. And the Padres took advantage of that. And after that, King cruised. And Tatis said that 2-run home run first pitch. You're like, I mean, after that 2-run home run, I honestly thought like blowout. I'm like, yo, this dude's going to get lit up. Now he did.
He only got 4 outs. Basically, credit to the Braves bullpen for giving their offense a chance to at least be in the game.
Right. Yeah.
But they didn't start whatever his name is, you know,
AJ Smith Shaver.
And I think if they went straight bullpen game and avoided the 21-year-old, maybe they keep it where it's a 1 or 2 run game the whole night and it's a little tighter than it ultimately was. But the Padres weren't losing this game. At the end of the day, the Padres weren't losing this game because the Braves weren't scoring in this game. Vector 53, thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you are here, please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans, and thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Vector 53 says, King was a sight to see. Suarez still scares me, huh? Yes, we've touched on that, and we'll continue to touch on that. Thank you for your support. Colby saying, I'm proud of Schilt for starting King, and I don't mean to be condescending.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It was a bold but smart move. Could have easily been second-guessed. I mean, I don't know if that was Schilt. I think Schilt probably plays a role in that, but I think it's organizational. When you set your rotation in the postseason, I think that's like a team collective decision.
Yeah. I mean, they looked at everything, and there was a couple times they showed advanced analytics on the broadcast, and the more you see the numbers, you're like, I understand why they started King Game 1. You know, like, he is a top five pitcher in baseball as far as like hard hit rate goes. He's towards the top as like the best, not the top as like he gives up a lot of hard hit balls. He's a guy that doesn't give up many hard hit balls. Blake Snell's number one, Michael King's top five. He just doesn't give up hard hit balls at all. He misses a lot of barrels because his pitches are moving. I mean, his arm slot, when that slider's on, as we saw tonight, he is unhittable. He is literally unhittable to right-handed pitchers when that slider's on. Like, you're not hitting that pitch. And then lefties, that two-seamer, good luck too.
Yeah.
He was incredible. He was incredible.
Were you surprised by the Blink 182 first pitch? Afi 619, thank you so much for the super. Manny needs to come in clutch. Didn't like his ABs. Did you expect it? What were you thinking first pitch here tonight? I thought that was kind of a cool choice.
Yeah, I understand it. I was gonna go with Sheil Seidler.
Oh yeah, yeah. That probably makes it maybe a little more appropriate. But yeah,
right. But I understand it because the entire 2022 end of that postseason run became now in the eighth inning at Petco Park. You play all the small things.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, it makes sense. And I mean, the longer this goes on, you're going to get some pretty big names out there throughout the first pitch, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And by the way, Manny, I got no problem with Manny. It's one game, guys. He's been scorching hot. He goes 0-for-3. Who cares? Is what
an incredible defense tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot make any bold assessment on someone's performance in a 4-0 win. I it's one game, and I got to trust in Manny Machado to help this team win at the plate. And I think he will. SDSU man one, thank you again for the super chat. He says, Padres official Facebook page after Tatis home run. If Petco had a roof, it'd be gone. Yeah, saw that on social media. I thought that's funny. It's probably true. If that was hit at the Trop, it would have just like fallen to the ground field. It was hit. Was it hit higher than it was far? Was it hit more than 415 feet in the air? It felt like it was.
I feel like the launch angle was like above the stadium.
I think it may have been. It was ridiculous.
I've never seen an
arc on it.
I've never seen that swing from Tatis to where he's
such an uppercut
falling backwards.
Yeah.
And you obviously know now after the home run, dude was sitting fastball from the jump. I mean, he was sitting fastball at noon this afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
The second he woke up, I'm sitting fastball. And he gets in the box, he's sitting fastball, and he did not miss. Like, I want to see how hard he hit that ball off the bat.
I want to see the launch angle.
Launch angle, I think, was like 120 degrees.
The launch something angle was like crazy. Straight up.
It was literally like this, and then it just kept going and going and going. It was a moonshot.
Can someone just quickly look at? I mean, I could find it. It's launch angle and exit velocity on Fernando Tatis Jr.'s home run. Can someone put that in the chat? What was it?
112 off the bat. T. Kelly's saying
that's freaking crazy.
And the crazy thing is, that's not even the hardest hit ball he's hit this year.
No, I know. But I mean, that's doing some work. 112 off the bat is doing some work. We're going to get back to this conversation in a moment. I think Mark Nimitz, our title sponsor of the wrap-up show, is here with us live.
Yes.
A lifelong Padres fan that's waiting and been waiting for moments like these. He is our title sponsor. He's been with us since day one, over 3 years of the wrap-up show. If you've got an insurance need and you're in the state of California, let Mark Nimitz hook you up. He can save you a lot of money just by switching your insurance to him. I'm talking about $750. Or more. I've got homeowners and life and earthquake insurance through Mark, and you can as well. He is a great insurance agent. I know it because I've had insurance through him for years, and you can as well. And if you ever have to file a claim, he'll be there for you. I had to do it a couple of years ago, the last time the Padres were in the postseason, had a flood, and he saved us so much time and money over the course of that process, and he can do the same for you. He does auto, by the way, as well. Auto, home, renter's life, condo, whatever it is, Mark Nimitz is there for you. And you can click the link in the description down below to get to his website, get free quotes online or free quotes by calling Mark. But again, if you support this channel like Mark does, who is with us live right now on the wrap-up show, please get in contact with him. Click the link in the description down below. Support the channel. Let him save you money. Let him talk to you about the Padres and get in contact with Mark Nimitz if you have any insurance need.
Yeah, all his information's on the ticker below. And Nimitz at FarmersAgent.com. Reach out to Mark. Let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
So I'm trying to remember, and thank you guys. Again, if you're here, please subscribe. You're on content for you. I think probably 20 or 30 people have already subscribed here tonight. We're on our way for 7,300 subscribers with your help. We'll be with you throughout the postseason and in the offseason as well. So please subscribe, and thank you for the super chats. We apologize if we're behind a little bit on the supers. We will catch up and get to all the super chats here tonight. We do appreciate your support, though, of the channel. This is interesting. So who started the final games of the 2022 rounds? Musgrove pitched game 3 against the Mets. Who pitched game 4 against the Dodgers? Who started that game?
Joe.
And who started game 5 against the Phillies?
Darvish.
Okay. But so to Jared's point, thank you. Says Joe has the potential to pitch all Padres clinchers since 2022. Yeah, they clinched 2 series with Joe Musgrove starting. They could clinch a 3rd series tomorrow with Joe Musgrove starting. That is an interesting point. I mean, he's come through in the clutch. No question about it.
There's nobody I would rather want on a mound for the Padres to close out a game. Like, he's going to go out there and he's going to battle. He's going to grind, and he's going to give you everything he possibly can. And, oh, by the way, he's a damn good pitcher. He's just a bulldog. He's a horse. He's fearless. Like, yeah, you want a closeout game? Yeah, I want Joe on the mound. And it's crazy, too, because I say all those things about Joe, and I kind of feel the same way right now about Michael King, and I kind of feel the same way about Dylan Cease, and I, you know, kind of feel a little bit the same about you, Darvish. They have far and away to me, and I know that we've talked to a lot of people in baseball recently, and we've asked them this question. It's about the rotation, and everyone says the Phillies, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's okay. I get it. I don't know, man. I don't know if I would take any rotation over the Padres in the postseason, truthfully.
You know, it's an interesting conversation because the truth is they're both deep rotations. We're not watching the Phillies every day. On paper, the names are comparable, you think, to the Padres. But here's the thing that Padres have working for them. They're completely rolling in the second half of the season, where the Phillies have been good all year. Make no mistake. But I just feel like maybe there's a slight edge to San Diego, because there's no way there's been a rotation that's been better over the last 60 days than San Diego's. I think over 162, maybe there has. Mm-hmm. But if you looked at like the here and now, there's no way the Phillies rotation has been quote unquote better. Maybe there's been comparable rotations, but you can't tell me that their rotation has been better here more recently than San Diego's. And I just think there's a lot of similarities between the Phillies and the Padres, truthfully. You know, good enough lineups. Obviously, the Phillies lineup is very capable. And when we've seen what it means. Their bullpen has been good. Their rotation has been good. I think there's a lot of comparables between the Phillies and the Padres. And shoot, they might meet for the second time in 3 years. They may just, in fact, meet in the postseason. We shall see. We can't get ahead of ourselves. Let's get back to the chat here. Fonzie, thank you. He says, how about those wild swings and misses? I think he's talking about Michael King. He got a million of them. I don't know how many he got. He got a million.
Wasn't even close.
Wasn't close.
I mean, there's some pitches that he threw that dropped out of the zone, and these Braves hitters weren't even close, like feet away from making contact. Not inches, feet. That's when you know your stuff is nasty, is when you have hitters that far off a pitch. It's just kind of like, hey, man, we got to tip our cap here. I don't know right. what to do. And that's
exactly how it's tonight. And how about Jason Adam? And then Adam was going like 96, 76, 97, 77.
Struck out the side?
Matching, striking out the side. He's been since coming over. You can't pitch better than Jason Adams pitch. Sorry, can't do it.
No.
Ben Ferrella, appreciate you.
What's up, man?
Great to see you and great to have you in the chat. Appreciate your longtime support of the channel. He says, hi, friends. I have no voice left. And that's in a 2-hour and 10-minute game or whatever it was. Well, you better find it and get some rest and find it for tomorrow, Ben. Hope to see you again tomorrow. And again, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Knotty Barrel, 9th and Market, 2 blocks from Petco Park. Please join us. We saw dozens of people that watched this show. I told Jim off air, I'm going to say it right now in the wrap-up show. Maybe this is TMI, too much information. Somebody came up to me today in the bathroom at Knotty Barrel at the urinals and said, I don't normally talk to people at the urinal, but I love your show. And I said, appreciate that. So,
did you get his name?
That happened today. I did not get his name.
Well, hi, urinal guy.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. We were at the sink, but we were using the urinal next to each other. Yeah, Luis, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat from Mexico. He says, how does King's contract renewal look now? Well, he's arbitration. He's an arbitration guy. He'll get a bump in 2025. He's only under contract through 2025.
Is he a Boris guy?
I don't know. You know that better than I do. I don't keep track of that.
I don't know. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's going to get paid a lot of money after 2025, as he should. And he's going to get paid a good amount of money in 2025. Arbitration eligible. But I don't know what it looks like after 2025. Conversation for probably another day.
Right.
Because they do have him for a whole nother year, you know?
Right. They have, this core is staying together for next year as well. You bring back Profar, it's like you're bringing back the entire team almost. They're going to probably have discussions about that. I mean, the way if he has a postseason where, I'm not going to say he's going to pitch like this every time out, but I mean, if he has a postseason to remember, and they win the World Series, and he's a big part of that. Obviously, he will be a big part of that. I mean,
would that be good?
It'd be very good. And you know what? I think they would try to get something done with him long term. That's just my guess.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And if you're winning a World Series, then you've won a World Series. you work around, you figure it out on
figure the other it out side. Later. Right.
You have much fewer concerns once you've won a World Series about what it looks like on the other side of it, because you've won something that you've never won. And they pulled up the graphic today. Franchises that have gone the longest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brewers and Padres, both from 69 on, have not won, as we know. Jay Alonso, thank you, man, for your support of the channel in the super chat. He says, we were out hit 7-5 against a AAA pitcher. Expected more from Machado, Bogey, and Crony. Is this serious?
I hope not.
If they get out hit 30-3 tomorrow and win,
3-0,
I'm just going to move on to the Dodgers series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just am. I'm not going to be critical of the wins because they're precious in the postseason.
It's the same thing like in football. Oh, this team had 550 yards against us. Right. They scored 13 points and we won 30-13.
Especially in the playoffs.
And who cares? I mean,
yeah, if the Niners win the playoffs and they get outgained 2-1, but they won in the playoffs. I mean, you won in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, it's game one. Cronenworth, he got hit in the foot, scored a run. They had a productive out there, which was really nice. That was cool to see. And you don't worry about if you get out hit or not in the postseason. The only thing that matters is you put up more runs than the other team. I don't, like you said, I don't give a shit tomorrow if they get out hit 15-5. If they put up more runs than the Braves, it's all that matters.
I don't know the hit total in game four of the Padres Dodgers 2022.
All I know is they won it.
Yeah, they may have been out hit. And I don't know if Machado, I don't know what everyone's, you know, what it looked like. I don't know who was 0 for 4 and who was 1 for 3 in that game. I just don't. I know what Cronenworth did. Hey, every so often, moment. Thank you, man, for the super chat. It says, how about my man, Kyle Higgy Higmeister? Man, you're not kidding. You are not kidding. Of course, again, one of these fitting that he would come through. By the way, he caught Michael King. Again, a guy caught New York, right? I think he caught him. Did they say he caught him going back even when he was pitching the postseason in 2020? I don't know if that's accurate.
Here at Petco Park, I think so.
At Petco, I think he may have caught him then. So that's cool. I mean, the Higashioka story this year has been pretty cool. It really has. We thought they were getting like a backup catcher. And they've gotten a starting catcher that's a good defender that is also hit and hit for power.
He's their best offensive catcher in like forever.
right.
Like while he didn't hit for a high average, who gives a shit? He put up damn near 800 OPS.
Yeah.
And he almost hit you 20 home runs in the regular season. He hits a home run here in the postseason. He had a god awful September. And of course, he hits a home run here in game one. The Higgy Bank, exactly. The Higgy Bank is open for business. I think that Kyle Higashioka is in this modern baseball, he's the perfect catcher. Plays really good defense, and he's got pop.
And hits for power. Yeah, like that's a great combination. It's a good point. Like if I get a guy that can call a game, control the run game, and when he hits for power, like that's the dream scenario. In today's baseball from a catcher, like that's all I want. I don't need a guy to hit for average. He's a catcher.
No, I don't care if he hits 320. I don't care if he hits 220.
It's not happening. But if he hits for power, like that's legitimately a huge bonus out of that position. Yeah. Rushman, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the generous super chat. Guys, if you are here and there are 700 of you here, stop what you're doing and subscribe or smash the like button or both, like please. Button. Padres won tonight 4-0. So smash that like button, subscribe.
Let's get 1,000 likes tonight.
Let's get to yes, thank you. We need the good karma of 1,000 likes. We need the good karma of 7,300 subscribers on the channel. So please subscribe. And thank you for your support of the channel with the Super Chats. We'll get to all of them here tonight. If you want to become a member, you can click the join button down below. Padres win 4-0 in game one. Rushman, thank you. He says, King was brilliant. Bullpen was great. Higgy with a big hit. Great trade for both teams, I guess. Yeah, we talked about it. Jim touched on it. I think that's accurate. I really do. I don't know what happens with Soto on the other side of this year. We'll find out. And I don't know what happens with King on the other side of 2025. But yeah, I think you said it right, Jim. I just think it's both teams won. Maybe one team wins more than the other because maybe one team wins a World Series here in 2024, 2025. But at the end of the day, they both probably won. And even getting the Yankees to win, you probably have to win a World Series is Juan Soto. Yeah. But I mean, he had a great regular season, that's for sure.
Juan Soto had a great regular season. Michael King had a great regular season. Michael King, I mean, his numbers he put up this year, I mean, that could generate him a top 10 Cy Young finish. Truthfully.
By the way, I'll take the egg on face on this one. He's not calling me up. He said, remember when we thought King would be starter left out when penciling in our top three to start the
I win that. Do I win a burrito? I win something,
no,
right?
I don't think so. No,
I think I win sushi.
You don't win shit.
No, what a night. Win something. I win something.
Okay, maybe you win something. I can buy you lunch.
Buy me a fried Twinkie tomorrow at Naughty Barrel.
Deal. I think it's free for us. he says, what a night, big tone setter. Listen, but we all agree that we didn't think they could go wrong with the rotation in a three-game series, did we not?
We said
would we have been sitting here yelling at each other if Dylan C started tonight and they won 4-0? I don't think so. Or if Joe Musgrove starts tonight and they won 4-0, or Yu Darvish. The point is, they, like Jim said 5 minutes ago, he thinks the rotation is as good as the Phillies or maybe the best in the National League, if not baseball, right now. So the point is, I'm not saying they're interchangeable. I don't think they are. And I think Michael King's awesome right now. So I'll raise my hand on that and say, I didn't think that he'd be starting game one. And I didn't think he'd be capable for performance like this to start the postseason. And I'm glad to say that he proved me wrong. And a lot of these Padres have proved people wrong this year. I mean, from Jackson Merrill to Michael King and everywhere in between, this is a group of people that have, this is a team that has proven a lot of people wrong along the way.
Yeah, you fought me over it. I was like, King is going to start one of these games. You're like, no, like, no, Yu Darvish.
Guys.
I didn't think he was going to start.
I mean, it's not like Yu Darvish isn't capable. And I hope when we see Darvish, hopefully they make it out of this round. And then the next round, he gives you six or seven innings like that in a start,
and,
you know?
And it felt like last week, too, when you started to hear, I mean, we had Kevin on, Dennis Lynn was on our station with Marty. Yeah. And the more you talk about postseason rotations, the more you heard Michael King's name as far as like, is King going to be in the rotation? Absolutely is what we basically got from the, you know, insiders here. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was going to start game one for them, but oh my God, what a decision and how big how big of a decision that was and how big of it paid off. Like it paid off in a huge way for them. Like you said, Matt, such a tone setter is a tone setter for really the start of their postseason, hopefully to a World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get back to some of these super chats here. Appreciate your support of the channel. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. Padres Payne, thank you. He says, just got home from the game. Missed this atmosphere. Another one of those classics. Again, 2022 had them. I think the regular seasons, truthfully, in 2023 and 2024 have had some unbelievable atmospheres. Like you said, Soto's debut, we were there. I thought that was just terrific. That was a playoff game, essentially. It wasn't, but it was. And it's just one of the great ballparks in America is what it is. And it's got one of the best fan bases. And, you know, you combine the ballpark with the fan base and the fever and the excitement and the team, and you've got as good as it gets right now in baseball.
You have it's like a caged lion, and you see he's looking at, like, this meat that's laying in front of him. And that meat is like the World Series, and all Padres fans are just waiting to be unleashed, you know, to have a chance to cheer on a team to win its first World Series and to do something it's never done before. And they've never, I mean, before 2022, they didn't have that type of run ever at that ballpark. So that was like a out of body experience. We've experienced it now. And now it's like taken to the next level of there's expectations of this team to go far, and they're also really effing good, and they also had a magical regular season, not to the level of winning the division, but like there were parts of their season where you're like, what the hell? I mean, how many times do we have wrap-up shows where we come on and we're like, that's the win of the year, that's the win of the year, that's the moment of the year? I mean, like 20 times.
Yeah it's exactly right. That's exactly right. Ryan, thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, have you seen Friar Fan Films new vid? Amazing. Have you seen that on social media? Is there something out there? Friar Fan
Films? I've seen a lot of
like hype videos.
Hype videos.
Yeah.
Me too. And Friar Fan Films. I think I have. Yeah. I think I have.
I have too, because I've seen all these things retweeted and they've been in my timeline. I just don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah. I think, Justice Parman. I think that's. Is that who you're referring to on YouTube? I think that he does those.
Okay. So. Yeah, I've seen some great stuff. I thought the Padres posted an incredible video here within the last 30 minutes of the, like, it's like a scene. It's like a 4K video of like behind the crowd on the lower level as they celebrate. Fans standing and cheering and hugging and high five. I thought it was really well done. There's just some great content out there. There really is. Thank you for the super chat. He says, a gem by King. Good thing you guys aren't choosing the starters, LOL. Well, Jim should be. He's like AJ Preller, too, 2.0. Wasn't even in the conversation last week.
No, I said King should be getting a start in the wild card round. I didn't say
Jim said it. Jim said it.
I didn't say game one. I was adamant like it was going to be Cease game one. But I said King is going to start one of the games at Petco.
You did say that? You did?
And I did put out a poll, by the way, John and Jim last week. And I said, who should be the game one starter? I put Cease, Musgrove, and King. So I didn't leave King out.
What did people say?
They said Cease. But I think number two was King.
Okay.
He just had a great year. That's like you can't just not have the dude pitch after he's had that great of a season.
No, it's fair. Backed up by his performance, no doubt. Hendrick, thank you, man, for the membership. He says, how fast we forget Gary Sanchez, who hit 19 home runs in 2023. Okay. Again,
you're right.
For a team that, but he had some big moments. He had a nice year. No, he had a really right. nice year.
Like, okay, yeah. Sorry. Yep. I tried to forget last season, all right? Last season was not fun to remember.
Right.
But you're right. Gary Sanchez was a stud when they picked him up last year in the middle of the season. Yeah, so, okay, Gary Sanchez, you're right.
No, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Every so often, thank you, man. He says, just want to point out the body language of the guys after the win. Really looked like they were happy, but also on a mission. And business as usual. I noticed that. I thought that when Fernando Tatis Jr. was on SportsCenter, he doesn't look content at all. This is a different Tatis for me. At watching his entire career in front of our eyes and every single time he's been on the field for 6 years, which hasn't been that much, he's a different player. He's learned from past mistakes. He's evolved. He's always been great individually. I think he's more of a team player. I think he says a lot more of the right things. I think he's motivated more by winning than he's ever been. I think he understands how hard it is to win at this level, how the opportunities are precious. All of a sudden, you look up, you're 25. You used to be 19. You've never played in front of fans in a playoff game until today. Life is fleeting. You know, all of a sudden, you're going to look up, he's going to be 35. He's 25 right now. So how many chances do you get when you've got a team as red hot as the San Diego Padres? I love where Fernando Tatis Jr. is right now. What he did in September with all the power, with what he did tonight, I absolutely love where Fernando Tatis Jr. is right now, and I hope he can ride this thing all month long.
He's a game changer. He's one of the best players in baseball when healthy. And like we've said, leading up to the postseason, anybody out there that thought Tatis was a guy that shouldn't be on this team or in this lineup because they were playing better without him?
No, that was ridiculous.
Like, you just, like, there you go. You know, I mean, he is in the postseason, when it comes down to it, a feared hitter. And you want as many of those feared hitters in the lineup as possible. David Peralta has been really good for this team. David Peralta ain't even close to Tatis. Not even close.
No, he can't even compare that. Dave Peralta wouldn't compare himself to Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, and we've said that multiple times. Fernando Tatis Jr. in this lineup makes it better. And you see what happens tonight. And he's not fully 100% healthy still. But right.
Another good point.
Like, dude's put up 8 home runs since his return, right? 8 or
That's
9?
A lot.
8.
Yeah.
8. Yeah, 8 homers since his return off the IL in a month. Less than a month?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. He's ready to go.
Yeah. I don't really know what this means, but thank you, HBBV, for your support of the channel. Jim, put respect on King AJ's name, Mickey's voice. You don't need to do that. But thank you for your support.
Oh, AJ Prowler. Good job. Oh.
Can you do that for Mova Globes?
Oh, Mova Globe. You get one more right now. If you're a big Padres fan, we have the link in the description below, and you just click on the link, and you use our promo code PWS10. Get a Mova Globe right now.
That was well done, man. Well done, my friend. All right, pick up a Mova Globe in a non-Mickey voice. They have all 30 teams officially licensed. Padres, Braves, every team in between. If you're a Padres fan, if you're a Major League Baseball fan, if it's for family, friends, yourself, whomever, pick one up. All 30 clubs officially licensed. They spin automatically with artificial or natural light. And like Jim said in that Mickey voice, you get 10% off with promo code PWS10. That's promo code PWS10. Click the link in the description down below. In addition to the MLB globes, they've got so many other globes for you as well. You can check them out by clicking the link in the description down below. Pick up a Mova Globe, support the channel. This company's based in San Diego and the technology was founded in Cardiff by the Sea right here in North County. If you want it, pick it up while it's available. They've been on board with us for 5 months. I think the Padres have the best record in baseball since Mova Globes hopped on board with us. So great gift idea. Your family's going to love them. Great for a baseball fan. Pick one up today. Make sure to use promo code PWS10.
Yeah, I've already said my
piece. You said your piece.
I've said my piece.
You did. You said your piece. You certainly said your piece. Attention, I think, turns to Joe Musgrove tomorrow opposite Max Fried. The Braves electing to go bullpen game in game one after playing two games yesterday. They could have moved Max Fried up if they so chose. He would have been pitching on 3 days rest, not four. They now get a healthy Max Fried who is fully capable. I think you said it today. I think their expectations would be for him to work deep into a game and alone give them a chance to win the game by working deep into the game for the Padres, a chance to win and move on. I mean, the benefit of winning in two as opposed to three is obviously speaks for itself. You can use Dylan Cease potentially in an opening game of the next round if you're able to do that and just slot everything appropriately from there. So there are a lot of benefits to winning in two. You would never kick out of bed winning in three besides still winning a series. But I think it goes without saying the benefits of winning in a sweep. By the way, in the history of this wildcard round, there have been 16 series. Game one winners are 14-2. One of the losers was the 2020 Padres. They lost game one to the Cardinals. They won that series. But game one winners in the wildcard format in 16 series are 14-2. And the Padres, again, have a one game to none lead after tonight.
Now, Max Fried is not going to be easy at all. Do you think that it was a wrong decision by not pitching Max Fried on short rest today for them?
No, probably not. I think here's the thing. Let's talk ourselves through it for a second. Game one is equally as important as game two and vice versa. In theory, there's no difference in the importance of game two to game one. Game three is a different question. You can't wait on game three. But there's no difference in importance between game two and game one. Therefore, under that theory that they have equal weight, if they have equal weight, you'd prefer to use them on normal rest. So I think they're banking on, yeah, they're down a game, but the second game counts as much as the first game. And if you get a great performance from Max Fried, you are where you are at the end of the day, which is in the series tied at one, irregardless.
Now, Max Fried, in his postseason career, he's 2-4 with a 4.57 ERA. This year, pitched well, he pitched really well. 3.25 ERA in 174 innings pitched, 1.16 WHIP. Trying to look up his splits against Padres. Okay, so here's what the Padres have done in their career off of Max Fried.
Okay.
Not a lot to go off of here. Manny Machado's lifetime 1-for-16 with 4 walks and 2 strikeouts. That one hit was a home run. And then like other than that, Luis Arraez is 4-for-8 off of the guy. Jake Cronenworth 3-for-12. Jackson Merrill's 2-for-2. Profar's 3-for-8. Solano's 1-for-8. Tati's 2-for-5. So not a big sample size against Max Fried, to be honest with you. The biggest one there is Manny being 1-for-16 lifetime against Max Fried.
Didn't they beat him in a big game this year in Atlanta?
They did. They actually kind of tossed him around a little bit here. In Atlanta, I remember, what was it? May went 4 1/3, 9 hits allowed, 3 runs, 3 walks, only 2 strikeouts. The thing about the Padres this year that makes them so dangerous is they have the lowest K rate in all of baseball.
Right. So they just won't play. Yeah.
They just don't strike out. Shout out Victor Rodriguez. Like they just do not strike out. Also, when you have a guy at the top of your lineup that literally never strikes out, that's going to help your K rate, you know? But it's not just Luis Arraez. Jackson Merrill tonight, we haven't even talked about him. I feel like he had an underrated game where every single batter looked locked in.
Say that again, the end?
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like he had an underrated game where every single at bat, it felt like he was locked in.
Youngest player in Padres postseason history with a hit, singled in his first AB. No moment is too big for Jackson Merrill, let's be honest. And actually, he continues to get better throughout this rookie year, which is crazy, 7 months into it or whatever it is. He has not run out of gas. He's not playing on fumes. I think it's a really good point. I think he can help this team win, not just what he's done so far, but in the postseason. I mean, the guy is special. this season for him has been special. I hope it continues for a long, long time. What I know right now is he's having a special season and no moment has been too big for Jackson Merrill. All right, please subscribe, guys. All right, we appreciate your support of the channel. Please subscribe. Some of you are just getting here.
I get to 7,300.
Let's get to 7,300 subscribers. Seriously, between now and game two, let's get to 7,300 subscribers. Jim said he wants 1,000 likes on this video, and we're dead serious about that because between live and replay, we'll have thousands of views on this video. So it doesn't take more than a second to smash the like button. We appreciate you doing it. You can find us, by the way, on social media at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you want to support the channel like Ben Varela has done right here, and we appreciate you, Ben, just click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to become a member, get custom emojis and badges to support the channel, you can click the join button down below. Ben says this: King is the only one of the three starters on the wildcard roster made sense to start game one. You don't want to risk losing game one and have to use him in an elimination game, game two or three. That's where you want high leverage starting pitchers like Joe or Dylan. I just think to that point, Ben, to follow up on that point, I think you want guys that have kind of been there before. I'd probably prefer the veteran guy in the do or die. And maybe King comes through either way because the guy's been damn good. But I'm taking Joe and Dylan from here on out, and I feel good about my chances in these, you know, meaningful clinch-type games moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say you have King go game one because it was not an elimination game. Right. And if you lose, you got Musgrove and Cease. But truthfully, the way that King pitched tonight, that should not be the thought process at all with Michael King. Like, that performance was and I haven't heard what Schilt said tonight about him, but that performance felt like I want the ball game ones. Like, give me the ball if I'm available for game ones. And
sure,
truthfully, if how the postseason works out, however it does, you know, if there's an opportunity for King to pitch another game one, I'm not hesitating in giving him the ball, truthfully.
Yeah, of course, he wouldn't line up here, assuming they win the series, and they have work to do it.
Game two Sunday.
But he could line up for a game two, which, yeah. Listen, whenever he's available, he's going to be pitching in this rotation in the postseason. Simple as that.
And honestly, if everything works out, which is it's all worked out for the Padres right now, you win tomorrow, then you have Cease game one in L.A., Darvish game two, or hell, King game two, then Darvish game three here at home, Joe game four, and then all hands on deck for game five, whenever that would be. I think that would be Thursday.
I think it goes Saturday, Sunday, off day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Is that accurate?
So then Cease would be lined up for game five on full rest because you got four starters. You got four legit starters. Right. Think about that.
And you get that one off day in there. Plus, you get the off day between rounds at least if you advance.
So it makes it that it almost makes it that more important to win tomorrow night because you're looking ahead here. If you don't win tomorrow night, that knocks out Cease for game one and game two, and then you have him pitching only game three.
Correct. So now it's like the effect. It's the domino effect. It's what happened to the Braves here. They had to play to get into the postseason,
right?
But then it's going to cost them on the other side. The Padres would have to play to win game three of a series, duh. Mm-hmm. But if you do win it, which is the desired result, it still can be impactful. And that's the benefit of the bye.
Yeah.
In theory, a team goes three, they've taxed the rotation, you're pitching your one against someone's four. In theory, that's how it could shake up or shake out. So we'll see. That's a good point. Sean, thank you. I saw this initial maybe super sticker that doesn't show up in our software, but then you followed up with this. And thank you, man. He says, Cease Darvish game three, or use Darvish game two if needed after Musgrove, and go Cease bullpen. Now, they've already announced this.
No.
This is Joe Musgrove for game two and Dylan Cease if necessary game three. Yu Darvish is on this roster. He's absolutely available, but we don't know. Kevin Acey today said it would be more of an all hands on deck game three usage in his mind. It's game three. Who knows?
You've got a lead. If Cease like is struggling.
Or just, I don't know, if you just need him at some point along the way in a third game, but I don't think you're going to see Yu Darvish in this series, would be my guess. That's probably what they're hoping for, the Padres. Because they want to pitch him as a starter, you know, and they want to just keep him in line to potentially start the next series, assuming they make it.
I just think that, like, you know, the domino effect here, when I'm talking about it, it kind of even makes tomorrow like that more important, because you're thinking, I mean, right now after game one, you win it. From a fan's perspective, yeah, you're looking ahead. You know, this team needs to focus on tomorrow's game. And we'll all focus on tomorrow's game as well. But you're also looking ahead here, because this does not feel like just like a flash in the pan run. This feels like it has potential to be sustainable and make a deep run in the postseason. Winning tomorrow sets up the rotation for the DS series exactly how you want it.
Yeah.
And you get Cease for two, you pitch Darvish for one, and then Joe and King the others, and you feel really good. Like you could honestly go game one and two. You could go Cease, King, you, Joe, Cease, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, lining up. I mean, I'm thinking way ahead, but like to like the CS round, then like you got King, Yu, Joe, Cease, like, you know, it just that's what makes this so fun, is that their rotation one through four, you're like, not a really bad option here. And you were harping on it, and we were harping on it in 2022. The reason why they didn't get past the Phillies, one of the biggest reasons was they didn't have a fourth starter, and that game four starter was Clevinger and Manaea, and that was a disaster. And they should have won that game because the offense put up runs. And that's almost kind of feels what you know, ended their season.
They ran out of starting pitching. Basically, every team does, but the last team standing. I mean, that's why I take starting pitching over good offense. And right now, the Padres have really good starting pitching, which gives them a chance to make a run in the postseason. I agree with that. Richard, appreciate your support of the channel. Longtime support. He says, Jim, I have a four-year-old niece who loves Mickey Mouse. Can you do Mickey for her? Her name is Josie. King was impressive. Respect you both. Thank you, Richard. Can you do a Mickey impression for Josie?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, Richard. Hey, Josie. How you doing? It's Mickey Mouse. Hope you have a great rest of your night. Oh, boy.
My voice is a little hoarse.
That was good.
Sorry. I had to, like, get into it.
Was it great? No, but it was good. Bro Duke, man, thank you for your support of the channel at the Super Chat. He says, what were the Cardinals thinking when they fired Mike Schilt? Philosophical differences? Mike Schilt, man, he's the puppeteer, man. He pulls strings beautifully. Everything has worked to this point. We'll see if that continues throughout the postseason. But, man, I mean, in fact, AJ Preller was asked about it today. Is a Mike Schilt extension coming? We talked about it today. I know we're in the postseason. There'll be another day for it. But Mike Schilt's going to be here, hopefully, for a while, because he's done a nice job, and they could use someone to spend five seasons with the club, and maybe he's going to be that manager.
Yeah, I mean, Schilt had to prove it, man. Like, for me, like, I'm not talking about, like, in general, but, like, for me, I was like, okay, we'll see, you know? Like, we'll go out and see. And there was a lot of moments early in that first half where I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this one. And it had nothing really to do with his on-field stuff, even though the team was 500. It was a lot of, like, are you really going to have those embarrassing press conferences? And they were embarrassing. There was a couple of press conferences that were utterly embarrassing. And they were 50-50 at one point. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, but I mean, dude pushed all the right buttons in the second half. That second half is a second half to remember, and it's one of the best in franchise history. And absolute credit to Mike Schilt where it's due. Absolutely deserved.
Yep. Spot on. Yeah, we agree. We agree. JK Rosser LV, thank you for your support. I think LV stands for Las Vegas based on the image there.
You think?
King with a Kevin Brown 98 type of outing. Kevin Brown struck out 16 in the game in 1998. Michael King struck out 12 in 7 innings today. Unbelievably. You know, the truth is the Padres have only had so many postseason games in their history, right? I don't know the number, but it's not a huge number. It's added up with 2022 and 1998 and 1984. There have been some runs in there, been some games. But, yeah, I mean, right, that's over a quarter century ago. Mm-hmm. You're making a comp to something that happened over a quarter century ago. So this isn't happening every year.
Yeah. Padres played they played the Cubs in 84 to get to this, the World Series.
Yes. They were down 2-0. They won the series 3-2.
Okay. I was about to say, did they face the Braves at all? That they didn't. And I was like, every time they face the Braves in the postseason, they've made the World Series.
No, but this is the first time they played the Braves in the postseason since 98.
Right. Yeah. And they beat a team with Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox.
Right.
You know, peak of their prime. And everyone thought it was a collision course between the Braves and the Yankees again.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just can't get over how incredible that pitching performance was tonight and how fast it was. I mean, you look up, it's had to have been like 210.
209.
There we go.
209 in front of 47,647. 209.
2 hours and 9 minutes.
6 years ago, postseason games were 350, you know? 209. It's like you can't even settle into that thing.
No, you like get there and it's like the third inning. You're like, oh, shit. Man. And I do like long postseason games. I don't mind them at all.
Yeah, me too.
The regular season stuff on a Tuesday night versus the Rockies, I'm like, get this thing over with. But postseason,
too quick.
You can go 4 hours. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah.
Like I don't, there's no time limit in a postseason game. Unless it's like a drag it out. You're up 10-0 and it's just like, or you're down 10-0. You're like, get this thing over with. But back and forth, high leverage, every pitch is crucial postseason game. Like, I love that shit.
Great. Ben, appreciate you, man. He says, I meant for the wild card round. I'm surprised at others being surprised. It was King starting tonight. It was the most sensible move. I'm trying to find your last. You were saying King is the only one of the three stars in the wild card roster that made sense. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying in the wild card round. Okay. I'm surprised at others being surprised it was King starting tonight. Maybe just surprising because the headlines were like Dylan Cease before the season. That got bigger. Like the headline of the Soto trade was Soto. Mm-hmm. The headline of the Cease trade was Cease.
Right.
And he threw a no-hitter this year and had a five-start stretch this year where he gave up like five hits. So, like, you just, I don't know, he just got more of the headlines for me. So, I was just thinking Cease all along, but King earned it and then backed it up here tonight, you know?
Yeah, like, Cease led the team in strikeouts. I think he led the team in wins. Threw the no-hitter. You could argue when he's on, he has some of the best stuff, but I don't know, man. You see King tonight, you're like, that stuff's fucking nasty, dude. I mean, that is some nasty stuff that he's throwing out there when he's on like that, throwing that slider to righties and then dotting that two-seamer versus lefties. Like, good luck. But the crazy thing is, like, Cease has those things as well. Cease has a nasty slider, and he has a fastball that he can dot as well. And it's like, man, I mean, imagine if you get this performance tonight and they decided to go with Cease tomorrow. I mean, the Braves are like, what? Like, what? I mean, if you're the Braves and you're a Braves fan, you're not feeling pretty good right now.
No, you're definitely not. There's also this, like from Marty on what Tati said postgame, the unquantifiable part of the Padres season. Like this quote from Tatis: when I had my surgeries, when I had my suspension, Peter was in the house with me. What he has for the city, the love he has for all of us was unconditional. We're definitely doing this for him. So again, it's like this goes back to the teams on mission theory. Like I have theories for everything, but it's like, it's one thing to have a good team or even a great team that is like determined to overcome odds and just be the best. And I think the Padres are one of those teams. I just think they're very, very good. They're playing great baseball. And even without the ownership situation, even without the untimely passing of Peter, you would still say this team's a really good team. Like, we wouldn't say they couldn't win the World Series even if Peter Seiler was still living. Nobody would ever say that. But I think you add in the dynamic of the PS on their chest, what he meant, what they're saying about him. And, you know, it always helps when you're playing for a cause greater than your own. And it feels like guys like Machado, Tatis, and others maybe are going down that path. And truthfully, I like to hear it. And I think it speaks well to the team alignment of what they're trying to accomplish collectively.
When's the last time you heard a team truly talk about their owner and not have it be eyewash?
Or not have it be like, yeah, exactly. That's a great point.
You know what I mean? Like, look, truthfully, a lot of guys probably don't even like know who the team owners are. And if they do, it's not a relationship that is something that is like sustainable. You know, it's just like, oh, you're the owner of the team. Right. Peter Seiler was different in that sense that he loved baseball. He loved baseball his entire life. He was a diehard Padres fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once he took over here, like he's a diehard baseball fan. And when you hear these players talk about Peter, it does not feel like eyewash at all.
Not at all.
And you know, we could kind of sense like sometimes you're like, oh, okay, they're just saying that on their own about Peter. And they truly are meaning it. Like, I mean, some of the things that Tatis has gone through in his career already, and to have Peter be there for him and then to have Tatis talk about it like that. And you're just like, wow, you know, and they truly are playing for something greater because of how much he meant to the city and how much he meant to the team. Like, he brought them to this point where, like, hopefully it does create a decade long stretch of Padres excellence like he wanted to happen, and what he said he wanted to happen a couple years ago.
He's called the 2020s the decade of the Padres. I mean, they have made the postseason three times, and we don't know what's going to happen 2024 and beyond, so
yeah,
it could have been spot on. There's a super chat that I'm going to get to. I wanted to get to this because I saw it in the chat, and I completely agree. Helmet ads are garbage. Completely agree.
Oh my god.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, come on, guys. We really need to maximize revenue with helmet ads in the postseason. Like, that's going to be the difference in making money or not this year.
Baseball. Well, they might have to, because they're putting these games on like FS1 Plus and ESPN2.
I know.
I mean, you're not. I mean, back in the day, this shit was on primetime ESPN, primetime like CBS.
Yeah.
Now you're getting half these games on ESPN2.
Well, we talked about it. They didn't move Pat McAfee for freaking game 161 and 162 for Mets Braves.
That's ridiculous. I honestly thought, because we talked about this on John and Jim, and I thought it was just one side. Like, I thought it was one side. Shit's on both sides.
Both sides, yeah.
I'm like, this is so fucking ugly, dude. Especially because of the red. Like, if you have a red helmet, like the Phillies, right? It will look fine.
Well, do they change the color if it's a red helmet to make it stand out even more?
Even if I don't know, but
black or something.
God, it's so ugly. Why can't baseball get anything right? Like, they just,
I don't know.
I don't understand it, dude. It's not that fucking hard. Like, put it on the back of the mound if you really want this.
Exactly. Like, put it on the television screen. Say the series is presented by the helmet sponsor or presenting sponsor.
Like, oh my God, dude. You're already putting patches on the jerseys, which is whatever, but
the patches on the helmets or whatever is god awful. And
it's very Nippon Professional Baseball League.
Oh my God. It feels that way when
home. Yeah. It's very Nippon Professional Baseball League. Spend the Jet. Thank you, man, for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, year-round content for Padres fans. We're here with you all postseason long. We're here with you in the offseason as well. Please subscribe. Year-round content for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us, and thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box, like Spend the Jet, who says, sorry, joining late. Tonight feels like a fortress tonight. Got to keep it up all postseason. Like Petco feels like a fortress. Like,
I think that's what he means.
Yeah, I buy that. I buy it. It's going to be tough to beat San Diego here. It's going to be tough. I'm on board with that. I completely agree with it.
They turned into this year one of the best home teams in baseball. Was not pretty early on. They could not win at home. They just couldn't. There were a lot of like fans and people upset. Like, hey, we spend a lot of money. We're going to these games. And you're putting up these type of performances. Like, what the F? And they have turned into the second half like the super chat. I mean, it is a fortress there. The fan base is truly the 10th man. It is an environment that if you're the opposing team, you do not want to get down in that game because it's just they're going to be all over you.
I think we have some people, by the way, showing up. I think there's going to be a lot of people probably showing up at 9:30 because we do shows all season long at 9:30.
That's right.
And we even said yesterday, I'm like, yeah, we'll do a show probably at 9:30, but the game ends in 2 hours. I'm like, let's just do this thing. I mean, we're not going to make Padres fans wait for us. I mean, why are we going to wait around for 2 hours? That's the same length as the game. So we figured let's just hit the ground running with game one of the postseason. So James, apologies. And again, if you're just getting here now, you can always watch this thing back. You can watch it live.
It's the great part about YouTube. Replay.
I mean, you can replay it right now as we're on live, and you can do it in 1.25 or 1.5 speed and catch up in real time or whatever it is. Bro Duke, thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, will we see Emma Stone this October? I think it's a very good question.
Maybe. Well, yeah. I mean, you saw Alex Morgan there tonight.
Blink 182.
Yeah, I think that's a good chance you're going to see Emma Stone sometime in October. I mean, if she was here for, you know, 2022, she's going to be here in 2024.
And her husband Omar says she's filming.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe she'll be done by the World Series.
This is funny. John has to do it at 8 because after 9 there will be a noise complaint. That's hilarious. I like that.
Yeah.
I have noticed a few Dodger trolls in the chat for whatever reason. I guess just looking for something to do this week, potentially.
Of course,
with the Dodgers not playing, but welcome to the chat. Regardless,
subscribe. Hit the like
subscribe
button.
Yeah, subscribe, please. Please do subscribe. I also want to remind our viewers about our friends over at Underdog. They've got their best offer ever going on right now. It's perfect for the MLB postseason. You can get up to $1,000 in bonus cash by using promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Again, PADSWRAP. They'll give you a free gimme pick. Like higher than a half total yard for Travis Kelce. I'm making it up. It's something like that in an NFL game. And then they'll also give you the 50% deposit match up to $1,000 free if you use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can win 325 times your money in a single night, and you can get that free deposit offer as well. All you got to do is use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Play along in multiple sports. The pick'ems are so easy, just higher or lower than, you know, Manny Machado having a half total base or Joe Musgrove having higher or lower than 5.5 strikeouts, so on and so forth. And again, you can play across sports. Just remember to use that promo code, support the channel, promo code PODSWRAP. Get the 50% deposit match. Click the link in the description down below.
And this QR code's right above my head there. Use our promo code PODSWRAP. Download the Underdog Fantasy app now. Postseason baseball. I said Manny higher than a half total home run tonight. I'm an idiot. Probably should have taken Tatis. That was like the easy bet. I mean,
Tatis would have been nice. Higgy would have been nice.
Yeah. Michael King dominating. So getting your plays now in Underdog and get rolling for tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow, John, let's see if it's up.
Yeah. What do they have tomorrow? But yeah, lay out what's going on tomorrow if they have it. I'm glad you're doing that.
All right. Tomorrow, Atlanta. You got Joe Musgrove right now, 5.5 strikeouts, higher than 5.5 strikeouts.
Higher. Atlanta swings and misses everything.
4.5 hits allowed, higher on that. Max Fried, higher than 17.5 pitching outs. Do you take that?
Do we think he goes 6 innings? I hope it's lower.
And I'm taking lower than that. Here we go. Toddy, higher than a half home run. That pays out almost 3 times your money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking that right now. That's just me.
Okay, so you could play those Padres pick'ems for game 2, 5:38 Wednesday. Just download the Underdog app. Use promo code PODSWRAP. Take advantage of those offers. PADSWRAP. And again, a 50% deposit match up to $1,000 is their best offer ever. What else? I mean, around baseball, 3 road winners and the Padres. That's what happened today. Mets, we said they were dangerous. I said today on the show, I thought the Padres dodged a bullet not playing the New York Mets. Yes. And the Mets won in Milwaukee. You saw what Kansas City did impressively in Baltimore, 1-0 win. What else happened today? No, Detroit remains absolutely red hot, winning in Houston.
As I said, the Mets scared me the most.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if they would have beaten the Padres, but yeah, they're scary.
They're scary. They got that it factor to them as well. And like, shit, if you, man, you know, you get to the NLCS, obviously amazing, because you got to go through the Dodgers.
Right.
But then facing like a team in the Mets who would have to get through the Phillies, they're also right. Division rival.
Well, would you prefer, are you saying you'd prefer the Phillies in that scenario?
No, I'm just saying, no, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. We're looking way too far ahead. Mets, they're hot. Brewers are in big trouble. Royals, 1-0 win today. I don't even know if they pitched. I think Waka might go. Is Waka going tomorrow?
He didn't pitch today.
No, not Waka. Seth Lugo, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, Seth Lugo. Today. Seth Lugo tomorrow in a must-win game for the Orioles. And then you got Sean Manaea for the Mets tomorrow against Frankie Montas. Yeah, man. Tigers. How are the Tigers doing this? They have just literally a bunch of nobodies, dude.
I mean, they're the first team in baseball history to see it without a 75 RBI guy, without a 25 homer guy, without a 25 steal guy, without a 300 hitter. They're doing it collectively by believing. They've done it all in the second half. They were left for dead, basically, after the trade deadline. And out of nowhere. Sports.
But
you know, anyway. I mean, it's kind of unpredictable is how they're doing. I wouldn't be surprised if the Detroit Tigers made the World Series. The American League's completely wide open. I wouldn't be surprised at anything. I wouldn't.
I just love postseason. I mean, especially when like your team's in it or a team that you covers in it. It just makes postseason so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm watching all the matchups. I'm watching everything. I'm like, oh man, do I want that team to face this team? Do I want the Padres to face, you know, this team or whatever? Like, you just look at all the matchups, and the deeper you go, it gets it's just so fun. I can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. So let's set the stage again for Padres fans, because we're on the air, special time. Normally, John and Jim is 3-6, San Diego Sports 760, iHeartRadio app, and YouTube by searching for John and Jim 760. Tomorrow, we're 2 to 5:30. So we're like your lead up to the game. And we had tons of people with us on YouTube this afternoon, and we had tons of people with us truly live over at the Knotty Barrel. We're downtown. So even if you don't have tickets, because there were a lot of people in there tonight when we left that were just watching the game. If you have tickets, great. Come join us beforehand from 2 to 5:30. If you don't have tickets, great. Come join us and then hang out at the bar and watch the game. But we're at 9th and Market, which, I mean, isn't more than a 5-minute walk. It might be a 3-minute walk. I don't even know what it is, but it's 5 minutes from Petco Park. It's a block and a half or 2 blocks. It's a great spot right down there in the East Village, and it's a great bar, indoor, outdoor. So we'll be there from 2 to 5:30, and we'll get you ready again for game 2. If there is a third game, we're back downtown. If there is a third game as well. So we're there tomorrow from 2 to 5:30. Hopefully you can make it down. And then we're right back here tomorrow night, recapping whatever happens. Whatever happens, we're here. Whether they win it and move on to face the Dodgers, or they disappointingly lose it and there's a game 3 that comes our way on Thursday, we have you fully covered, which is why we've been telling you all night to subscribe to this channel. And about 50 of you have subscribed here while we've been on the show live. So we'll get to 7,300 subscribers, hopefully with your help, between now and the end of game 2. tomorrow night. But if you wouldn't mind subscribing, we would appreciate your support of the channel. We appreciate those that have been here. Smash that like button. How many likes are on this video tonight, Jim?
Not enough, guys. We only have 270 likes. We need to get that thing up. Get that thing up. We got to get to minimum 500 tonight. We've had over 700 people watching tonight. Like, just hit that like button on the way in or on the way out. It's very simple. Don't worry. We don't see who likes it, so you can be anonymous.
Right.
You know, but it helps us out. Algorithm, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. It's all we ask. Yeah, I know that people are like, I've already subscribed. Like, thank you if you've already subscribed. We appreciate you.
Wait, wasn't Sean, was this Arizona Diamondback Sean who, like, we had to talk off the ledge, but we actually talked him over the ledge last night?
Yeah, like, it's okay. Jordan Montgomery does suck.
Right, exactly. We were like, man, that was an epic collapse the other day with an 8-0 lead.
Yeah, he's like, I agree. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right. But what a day. I mean, we spent more time talking about the game than the game. I mean, we spent 3.5 hours on the radio talking about it, and then the game was 2 hours.
I was like, the debate tonight's longer than the freaking game.
I know. Like everything was longer than the game. I mean, we just know it's a 3.5 hour show followed by what's going to be a 90 to 100 minute wrap up show. We spent 5 hours on the game. They played the game in 2 hours.
And like, when you truthfully, like, when you watch the game, there wasn't a lot to talk about. There was like three things. Michael King was dominant. True. Fernando Tatis Jr. shows up when the lights are brightest. And bullpen looked good. Like, that's it. There wasn't like why didn't he send them here in the fifth? Or like, why did he make the pitching change here? Or like, they had a huge opportunity in this inning, about this and that. Like, it was a clean game. It was a quick game. It was a Padres had control of the whole thing game. Maybe we'll get more action tomorrow night with a win, too.
Did you see this?
Is that breaking news?
He's out. Yeah, he's going to miss the series. Oh,
dang it.
Yeah, Higgy was clutch.
Higgy too. Right, exactly. Yeah, but that was like Higgy an add-on clutch. Run. I mean, they would have won the game 2-0 if that was it.
3-0.
Well, they would have won the game 2-0 if they didn't score in the second, and then Higgy's home run. Like, all they needed was Tatis's home run, and the game was over.
Yeah, exactly. So. Let's do this again tomorrow, is what I would say. Let's do this again tomorrow. Join us on the wrap-up show after game two. Join us on John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760, YouTube, or the iHeartRadio app. Beginning at 2 p.m., we're on from 2 to 5:30. Get to the Naughty Barrel. Come hang with us. They've got food and drink specials, I think, starting at 4, but they've got great food. Great drinks for you, and they're two blocks from Petco Park. Let's see if the Padres can win this series in two and go for a sweep. Thank you, Calvin.
Wait, what?
Developing story.
You know, I really like this pitcher, Drew Thorpe. Maybe they can, like, flip him for something if they don't. Yeah, they can flip him maybe, but I really like Michael King, and I think Drew Thorpe could be a guy that you could get in the system and maybe contribute in a couple years, but... Like, hey, I think they need to flip him right now for something that will help you win this season. Wait,
has San Diego been awarded an expansion franchise for the 1969 season in Major League Baseball?
Wait, the baseball team here is called the Padres now?
Well, they were the Padres in the PCL. Are we going to go straight from the PCL to the major leagues?
Wait a second. They're building a new stadium downtown?
No, not yet. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, the initiative has passed, and there will be a new stadium downtown in the early 2000s. Okay, to recap, Padres won 4-0, and we will hang out with you guys again tomorrow night. Please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans in season, out of season, all postseason long. Smash the like button right now. Follow us on X right now at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the super thanks if you're here on replay. We appreciate your support of the channel. Thank you for those that have become members by clicking join down below. Thank you to our sponsors, Mark Nimitz, the title sponsor of the wrap-up show since day one. If you have an insurance need, get in contact with Mark. Click the link in the description down below. He can save you $750 or more. Mova Globes, thank you for your support of the channel. Use promo code PWS10 and take 10% off Mova Globes. Promo code PWS10 and get 10% off your globes. Click the link in the description down below. And Underdog Fantasy, use promo code PODSRAP and take advantage of that gimme first pick plus a 50% deposit match. Use promo code PODSRAP. That is PADSWRAP. Padres are a win away from the National League Division Series. They've got Joe Musgrove on the mound tomorrow. We will see you at 2 p.m. on the radio or at the Naughty Barrel or on YouTube, and then back tomorrow night on the wrap-up show. Jim?
John?
Let's do another channel or show on something. Gonzaga talk next.
No.
Bye-bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.